The chair calls the second meeting of the ALA Council to order. We will follow the same rules that were approved during the ALA Council 1 meeting. Again, as a courtesy to others, please turn your cell phones off or vibrate mode. If you need to make a call, please leave the council area. Thank you. Your voting record is at your place. You should have an ivory card for this morning's meeting. Please, at this time, write your name and sign your card. If you want to speak at this meeting, please go to a microphone, wait for recognition, then give your name and indicate if you are a division counselor, chapter counselor, a counselor at large, or a roundtable counselor. You will be asked to raise one of your hands for all votes that are not adopted by general consent. Only if the vote seems close will I call for a standing vote. If you must leave before adjournment, please take your card to Lois Ann Gregory Wood over at the projectionist's table. A quorum for council meetings is 75 councilors. I have been advised we have well over 75 councilors present, and therefore we have a quorum. The agenda, ALA Council Document 8.6 revised, 8:15 p.m., and all other documents issued since the last council meeting are available on the ALA, on ALA Connect and at the Council Documents Pickup Station located in this room. There has been a special request by the South Carolina Chapter Counselor, Nathan Flowers, to acknowledge the memorial for Cynthia Hurd at this meeting instead of Council 3, where it would normally be presented. This is in light of the fact that the South Carolina attendees need to leave today. I would ask that everyone please stand in honor of Cynthia Hurd and the 8 other people who were tragically died with her on June 17th, 2015. Thank you. Please be seated. Those of you who are on the agenda to report, come up on the stage and sit beside Keith Michael Fields shortly before your presentation. This will enable us to move through the agenda more effectively. Microphone 6.
Lessa Playa Lozada, Counselor at Large. I would just like to call Council's attention to Council Document Number 44, the Committee on Diversity Report to Council, and to let everyone know that if you have any questions, myself, Executive Board Member Mike Marlin, Member at Large Matt Sizek, and Member at Large Ed Garcia are all available for questions.
Thank you. Under the 24-hour rule, we have received the following resolutions to add under new business. ALA Council Document Number 38, revised, Resolution on Improving Access to Spanish and Bilingual Books for Children in Detention Centers. Do we have any other new business to add? Are there any objections to the agenda? Hearing no objections, the chair declares the agenda adopted. Before we take our scheduled 25-minute break, I would like to recognize retiring colleagues, most of whom have completed 3-year terms. After being recognized, would the retiring counselors and executive board members please step over to where the photographer's station so that you can take a group photo? This will happen during our break on the agenda. I would like to acknowledge with thanks the ALA Executive Board members whose terms will expire with the adjournment of this conference. They are Barbara K. Stripling, ALA Immediate Past President. Robert E. Banks, Executive Board Member. Rob will remain on a board until the 2016 midwinter meeting when his successor is elected to complete the remainder of Gail Schlachter's unexpired term. Alexia Hudson, yes. Alexia Hudson Ward, ALA Executive Board Member. John Allen Mormon, Executive Board Member. Please also recognize our retiring counselors. They are Carl Antonucci Jr., Connecticut Chapter Counselor, re-elected and will remain on council. Nancy L. Bauman, Counselor at Large. Liz Bischoff, Association of Specialized and Cooperative Library Agencies, ASCLA Counselor. Jennifer Bocher, Reference and User Services Association, RUSA Counselor. Dana Brachia, Arizona Chapter Counselor. Trisha A. Burns, Michigan Chapter Counselor. Nicholas Nick H. Buron, Counselor at Large. Lauren Andrea Comito, Counselor at Large, reelected and will remain on Council. Christopher John Corrigan, DC Chapter Counselor, elected Association of Specialized Cooperative Library Agencies, ASCLA Chapter Counselor, ASCLA Counselor, and will remain on Council. Roberto C. Delgadillo, Counselor at Large, reelected and will remain on Council. Joseph Bob R. Diaz, Counselor at Large. Hattie Dudley, Arkansas Chapter Counselor. Valerie Edwards, Association of School Librarians, AASL Counselor. Vicki Emery, Young Adult Library Services Association, YALSA Counselor, elected Counselor at Large and will remain on Council. Robin Ewing, Minnesota Chapter Counselor. Susan Fitchelberg, Counselor at Large. Lorene Flanders, Georgia Chapter Counselor. Nathan Flower, South Carolina Chapter Counselor. Courtney Fuson, Tennessee Chapter Counselor, reelected and will remain on Council. Tracy Lynn Geiser, Counselor at Large. Charlotte L. Gerdstein, Vermont Chapter Counselor. Jane Glasby, Counselor at Large. Susan K. S. Grisby, Counselor at Large. Megan Harper, Counselor at Large. Carrie Hartman, Wyoming Chapter Counselor. Ebony M. Henry, Counselor at Large, reelected and will remain on Council. Pamela J. Hickson Stevenson, Ohio Chapter Counselor. Robert Bob P. Hawley, Intellectual Freedom Roundtable Counselor. Shi Dong Jin, Counselor at Large. Al Kagan, Social Responsibilities Roundtable Counselor. Majid Kader, Counselor at Large. Jim Kuhn, Counselor at Large. Amy Lappin, New Hampshire Chapter Counselor. Haipeng Ling, International Relations Roundtable Counselor. Linda Louise Martin, Counselor at Large. Vicki Mix, South Dakota Chapter Counselor. Virginia Jenny B. Moore, Counselor at Large, reelected and will remain on Council. Tony Negro, Counselor at Large. Angela Nolette, Counselor at Large. Kimberly A. Patton, Counselor at Large, reelected and will remain on Council. Christine Peck, Washington Chapter Counselor, reelected and will remain on Council. Lessa Palayo Lazada, Counselor at Large, reelected and will remain on Council. Liz Philippi, Counselor at Large. Sue Palenka, Counselor at Large. Alexandra P. Rivera, Counselor at Large, reelected and will remain on Council. Elena Rosenfeld, Colorado Chapter Counselor. John C. Sandstrom, Counselor at Large. Karen G. Schneider, Counselor at Large. Stacy Schrank, Oklahoma Chapter Counselor. Gary L. Schaefer, Counselor at Large. Kent Slade, Utah Chapter Counselor, reelected and will remain on Council. Nancy J. Schneider, Counselor at Large. Carolyn J. Starkey, Counselor at Large. Henry R. Stewart, Alabama Chapter Counselor. Edward D. Cease, Counselor at Large, reelected and will remain on Council. Lisa Von Dreisig, Association of Library Services to Children, ALSC Counselor. Jamie Watson, Counselor at Large. Sandy Wee, Counselor at Large, reelected and will remain on Council. Joan S. Weeks, Counselor at Large, reelected and will remain on Council. And Denise Zielinski, Illinois Chapter Counselor. Retiring counselors, please pick up your certificate of appreciation for your service on Council at the projectionist table in this room. The chair now directs you to ALA Council Document Number 22.1 and calls upon ALA Counselor Loida Garcia-Febo, Chair of the International Relations Committee, to present her report. Good morning, Loida.
Good morning, Madam President, Executive Director, Officers and Counselors. I will share highlights from my report. International participation and activities at annual. San Francisco has proved to be an attractive location for international librarians. Almost 600 librarians from 62 countries around the world were registered in advance for the conference. International focused programs and other events began on Friday and will end tonight with the international reception at the San Francisco Public Library. The IRC would like to thank member and director of the San Francisco Public Library, Luis Herrera, and his staff for hosting the reception. IFLA report. The IRC welcomed current IFLA president-elect Donna Schitter and her newly elected successor, Gloria Perez Salmeron, president of the Library Association of Spain. Schitter reported on IFLA's efforts relating to the United Nations post-2015 development agenda. This agenda will be launched at the UN summit in September 2015. On June 15, IFLA provided its response to the UN with suggestion where insertion language in various sections of the goals should include the importance of access to information. The IFLA response is underpinned by the Lyon Declaration on Access to Information and Development, adopted at the IFLA World Library and Information Congress in August 2014, for which ALA is a signatory. IFLA Cape Town 2015 Book Donation Project. The ALA and its IRC Africa Subcommittee is partnering with the Library and Information Association of South Africa, LIESA, and the IFLA section Libraries for Children and Young Adults in a call for books to be donated at the IFLA Congress. For Gift a Book and Change a Life, delegates are being asked to bring a book, purchase a book upon arrival at a local bookstore, or make an advance purchase. LIESA will distribute the donated books to local public library services and others in the Cape Town area. IFLA ALA webinar series. ALA continues its successful partnership with IFLA's Continuing Professional Development and Workplace Learning section, a new professional special interest group, to present New Librarians Global Connection webinars. This spring session was Making the Lead to Library Leadership. The IRC would like to thank and recognize ACRL for being part of the program. IFLA Congress in Columbus, Ohio, August 13 to 19, 2016. Preparations from bringing back the IFLA Congress to the United States are moving into high gear. Led by co-chairs Carol Dierich, the Ohio State University, and Patrick Losinski, Columbus Metropolitan Library. The National Committee met yesterday here in San Francisco. James Neal is spearheading the National Committee's scholarship effort and was pleased to report that over $350,000 have already been pledged. The original goal was $180,000. Vantu, yes, great success. And it should be $350,000. Vantu Library Relief Effort. ALA was pleased to partner with the Australian Library and Information Association, ALIA, effort by collecting monetary donations in North America. Nepal Library Relief Effort. The American Library Association is partnering with Read Global, libraries, other NGOs, and government organizations in Nepal to collect donations to help rebuild and restock the hundreds of libraries destroyed or damaged by the earthquake. The IRC would like to thank ALA President Kearney Young for highlighting the initiative at the opening general session. SIBF ALA Conference. The International Relations Office, with strong support from Mary McKay, ALA Marketing Director, is working on the upcoming second annual SIBF ALA Library Conference, which will be held on November 10 to 12 in conjunction with the Sharjah International Book Fair. U.S.-Germany Library Partnership 2016 to 2019. IRO staff and members of the Europe Subcommittee of the International Relations Committee met with German colleagues in May at this year's German Library Conference to continue planning towards next year's conference in March in Leipzig. ALA FIL, FIL, Free Pass Program Extension. The IRC thanks ALA and Executive Director Keith Michael Fields for agreeing to sign a new collaborative agreement with the La Feria Internacional del Libro de Guadalajara, FIL, to extend the ALA, FIL, Free Pass program through 2016. This long-running partnership continues to be of great benefit to librarians from all types of libraries serving Spanish-speaking users across the United States. And the ALA will continue to provide support for up to 150 members to participate each year. Pilot International Mentor-Mentee Program. The six-month IRC IRRT Pilot Mentor-Mentee Initiative to match experienced internationalists with those new to the profession interested in becoming globally active ended here at Annual. 27 mentees were matched up with mentors. The IRC IRRT will be evaluating the pilot during the next month to make recommendations on establishing an ongoing initiative. I will leave my report up to here as I've shared the other news earlier, various settings here. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of the conference.
Seeing as there are no questions, thank you, Loida, for your report. The chair directs you to ALA Council document number 27.1 and calls upon Mary E. Rubinsky, chair of the Committee on Organization, to present her report. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. At the 2015 midwinter meetings, COU brought to Council a revision of the committee composition description for the Budget Analysis and Review Committee to better articulate the rules for the ALA treasurer. After discussion, Council requested that COU both report back on the history and rationale behind the term limit policy and clarify the two term limits of the two other member types, both the member at large and the executive board members, rather than only clarifying the treasurer's term. With help from our staff liaison, Carrie Price, we were able to determine that the original intent was that members not be appointed more than once in a lifetime, or in some cases, no more than 4 years in a lifetime. This has been the practice since 1970. Past and current reasons cited for this are one, to prevent power blocks, and two, to give as many members as possible the chance to serve on this important and prestigious committee. COU recommends that Council clarify the current composition description of the ARC as follows. The Budget Analysis and Review Committee consists of 9 members. 2 ALA executive board members with staggered 2-year terms, 6 ALA members with staggered 4-year terms, and the ALA treasurer who is ex officio voting. A chair is selected from among the non-executive board members. Executive board members and ALA members may not be reappointed once they have served on the committee for 4 years. The maximum 4 years need not be consecutive and need not be served as the same member type. For example, one could serve as an executive board member for 2 years and an ALA member for 2 years. The 3-year treasurer terms do not count toward the 4 years of committee service outlined above. Therefore, one may serve for 3 years and a combination of executive board member, ALA board member for 4 years for a total of 7 years.
Is there any discussion on this report? Microphone 7.
Peter Hepburn, GLBT Roundtable Counselor, Executive Board. Mary, I know I sent you a message about this morning, and this is a really unlikely situation, but in theory, someone could be elected treasurer more than once. So what would happen if someone were elected treasurer for another 3 years, and that might bring them theoretically to 10 if they'd also done that other 4 years? The language doesn't quite allow for that right now?
did discuss that with staff. We felt it was covered in that the terms is not counted toward the 4 years of service.
Okay, seeing as no one has the microphone, we'll proceed to a vote. Will all those in favor please raise one of your hands? Thank you. Would all those opposed please raise one of your hands? The motion passes. Please mark your ballot, CD number 27.1, item 1.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mary, for your report. The chair directs you to ALA Council document number 22.1 and calls upon ALA Councilor Julius C. Jefferson, Jr., President of the Freedom to Read Foundation, to present his report.
Thank you, Madam President. Good morning.
Good morning.
Actually, it's almost noon for me, so on the East Coast time. So it's my privilege as President of the Freedom to Read Foundation to report to this body activities since our 2015 midwinter meeting. So you have the report before you, and I'm just going to highlight a few items, and I'm going to stretch this out a little bit, I was told. And I will talk about a couple of other things that aren't listed here. So first, the foundation is involved in three current cases right now. Two cases are challenges to state laws. So the first case you see listed is Prison Legal News in Kane. This case is a challenge to a Pennsylvania law that allows a victim to sue a convicted offender to stop any conduct, including speech, that causes mental anguish. This particular statute violates the rights of offenders and deprives the public of information. So the Freedom to Read Foundation Board voted, along with publishers, journalists, authors, and others, to file a amicus brief. And the status of that situation is that the district court judge struck down the Pennsylvania law, finding the law manifestly unconstitutional. So that was a very pleasant victory. We continue with another law, and I reported to you in January about Antigone Books versus Horn. This is another an Arizona statute. The situation here is we believe that the Arizona legislature would, and I talked to you about this in January, the Arizona legislature would go back and make the necessary correction to the law. They didn't. So the plaintiffs, including the Freedom to Read Foundation, if we don't reach a settlement, the motion will be heard August 31. So we expect to move forward with that. And lastly, and I've talked about this for the past several years, so these court cases last for years. This is the ARC versus Huppenthal. This is the Tucson Unified School District case. We're still waiting for a decision in that case. So I'm going to move on to education under the Krug Memorial Fund. So on a good note, the Banned Books Week Krug Memorial Fund, we had about 30 applicants. We have five winners, and they are from all over the country. Great events. My favorite is the lock-in for banned books. That's an interesting one. I encourage you to go to the FTRF website and read more about all these wonderful events. And in September, you can actually read the written report that will be given by the winners. We continue in our quest to educate with the class from the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. This is a class taught by Professor Emily Knox, Intellectual Freedom and Censorship. It's a two-credit course that's held August through October 2015, and we still have a 3-year commitment to continue that education. Let's see, the board also continued our discussion on the strategic plan. We are putting a committee, a long-range committee in place to look forward, and we hope to bring back information in January on that. On another really high note, we want to announce our 2015 Roll of Honor winners. They were Jonathan Bloom, who is a former Freedom to Read Foundation trustee and First Amendment and intellectual property attorney in New York, and our own executive board member, James G. Neal, better known as Jim Neal. We congratulate them for their service. So we also want to report the 2015 Conable Conference scholarship winners. This year we had two, so the committee said that they couldn't decide what are we going to do. We only give out one scholarship. So past Freedom to Read Foundation president, Candace Morgan, had a conversation with her husband, and her husband said, well, look, if you can't decide, I'll donate funds, and we'll have two this year. So we're pleased to announce that we have two Conable winners, Gretchen Lechiminet and Amy Steinhauer. I don't know if they're here. If they are, please stand and be recognized. They are not here. But I do know that they enjoyed the conference. They had great mentors, and we congratulate them as well. I want to announce that we do have a couple of new officers. So we had elections, and I will continue to be president. And we also have a, oh, thank you. Thank you very much. But I wanted to announce that we have a new vice president. Our vice president was outgoing, and that was Bob Doyle. And our new vice president is Martin Garner. So congratulations to Martin Garner. Jim Neal continues as our treasurer. And we also have one new executive committee member, and that's our own counselor, M. Claire Knowles. So congratulations, M. Claire. So on kind of a sad note, but a happy note as well, we want to report that our executive director, Barbara Jones, will be retiring in December. And I want to take this time to personally thank Barbara and let her know, Barbara Jones, who's in the back, let her know that we are grateful for your devoted service. And we wish you well, and we know you're going to continue the work for intellectual freedom. And as we wrote in this report, on your own terms. And that's a positive thing for Barbara. We look for scholarship, Barbara writing books and continuing her scholarship on intellectual freedom. So I want to personally thank Barbara Jones for her service. And last but certainly not least, I want to talk about membership. Usually I ask how many people are members of the Freedom to Read Foundation. But I'm not going to ask that question this time. No. I'm going to ask how many people are not members of the Freedom to Read Foundation. No one wants to raise their hand. Okay. So the membership is $35. And all of the things that I've reported, the litigation and the education, we certainly would love to have your support. We would love to have you join. You can always join by going to ftrf.org. Again, the membership is $35. And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Are there any questions for Mr. Jefferson Jr.?
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We will now take up new business. These items will be discussed in the order in which they were submitted. Would ALA Counselor Denise Adkins please go to the microphone and read only the resolve clause of ALA Council Document Number 38, Revised, Resolution on Improving Access to Spanish and Bilingual Books for Children in Detention Centers. Microphone 2.
Denise Adkins, Counselor at Large. I would like to defer consideration of this resolution based on the advice of my colleagues until I get more information from the Committee on Legislation today.
So you'd like to defer this council,
defer this council three
resolution until council three.
Okay.
Is there, there's no objection from council? No. Okay. Thank you. I am advised that we did request that the photographer come earlier. We are well ahead of schedule today. But the photographer at the earliest may not be here until 10 o'clock, 9:30, okay? If available at 9:30. So hopefully those of you who will be retiring from council, even those who are reelected, will be able to be a part of that group photo. I will now call upon, am I okay? Okay. I will now call upon Executive Director Keith Michael Fields for some announcements.
I'll give the tally for June 28th, which is yesterday, and that was that we had a grand total of 15,816 attendees, 6,798 exhibitors, for a grand total of 22,614. And that compares with 19,865 in 14 and 22,879 in Chicago in 2013.
Thank you. Let's see. Any announcements? Okay. Please pass your signed voting record cards to the aisles for collection. Microphone four. I was waiting. You were having microphone four.
Aaron Dobbs, lead counselor, council forum disorganizer. I'd like to remind everyone tonight, 8:30 to 10 in the Marriott Marquis, San Francisco, Golden Gate C1. It's tucked in the back, so if you go in the main lobby, it's all the way to the far right-hand back corner down the escalator, just one level. Make a U-turn to your right, all the way in the back. We had a good discussion last night, and I'd like to see more of us there tonight. Thank you. We'll also be discussing future disorganizing and sustainability of that organization. Thank you.
Microphone six.
Pam Hickson Stevenson, Ohio Chapter Counselor. The Chapter Counselors Forum is today from 4:30 to 6 in the Marriott Marquis Yerba Buena Salon 1 to 3. The room numbers.
Microphone four.
Bernie Margolis, Counselor at Large. I think this is a historic moment that we're, and I think the record should reflect that, and maybe we should try to continue this. But in the context of history, I think we would be remiss if we didn't take at least a moment to recognize last week's history. Our Supreme Court, in two cases, the majority in one ruled that the Affordable Care Act was in fact constitutional and appropriate. And in another case, the Supreme Court ruled that the right of everyone to marry was in fact the law of the land. I think we need to acknowledge and applaud those. Thank you.
Thank you. Make sure. Microphone seven.
Gina Persicini, executive board member. I never got to say that before on the floor, so that's fun. I was just remembering that a number of years ago, right after being urged to, when hearing the Freedom to Read Foundation report, I used the opportunity of council-free Wi-Fi to do my membership when I was here in the room. And now look at all this great time we have ahead of us, unplanned free time with free Wi-Fi. And if anybody needs a hand getting to the website, I'm willing to help.
Microphone five. Microphone five.
Oh. Sorry.
No, it wasn't you.
Oh, that is me. That's right. Jim Neal, executive board member and treasurer of the Freedom to Read Foundation. As Julius indicated, the basic membership is $35. We are willing to accept 50, 100, or more. The work of the Freedom to Read Foundation never ends. We did take three important actions at this conference that expands in important ways the work of the foundation. One, we are establishing a small but hopefully growing research fund because many of the issues that we're dealing with require new data and new evidence to move those items forward. Second, we're asking for support for a consultant to help us look at the working relationship between the Office of Intellectual Freedom and the Freedom to Read Foundation. Over time, you know, those things begin to blur, and we want to make sure that for practical and for legal reasons, they remain distinctive in their roles and responsibilities. And third, we all know that intellectual freedom is a concept that we've been working with for decades, initially under the leadership of Judith Krug, now under the great leadership of Barbara Jones. That has evolved over time, and it has become intertwined with issues around diversity and inclusion and other important aspects of living in a 21st century society. So we're going to be organizing early next year a summit meeting to sort of step back and sort of refresh our thinking and understanding of what we mean by intellectual freedom in the 21st century. So it's those types of things that I think we need the support of members and others to really keep our agenda fresh, moving forward, and working on behalf of the profession, the association, and in fact, the world. So thank you very much.
Many of you have done this already, but please pass your signed voting record cards to the aisles for collection. Please make certain that your name appears on your card and that you have signed it. Cards without names will be voided. If there are no objections, I declare the second meeting of the ALA Council adjourned. And would executive board members please come to the front of the room? Thank you.